rule of three. Tim Slagle over here in Chicago, and over up in Minneapolis, Mr. Brian Miller.
That's me, and that's where I am.
And we actually have a special guest on the air.
First ever guest.
Yes, this is the first time the rule of three has been three. It's, I don't know how many listeners have been sitting there saying, well, there's only two guys. Why is it the rule of three?
It's because we leave a seat open for Elijah. Every good podcast should have a microphone open for Elijah.
Just a microphone sitting there.
ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Pent Washburn to the show.
Hello. It's good to be here on the rule of three.
And Bent is actually I'm doing my campaign series at Zanies. You know about that, right, Brian?
Yeah, that's the Monday. Is it once a month or once a week?
Once a month, fourth Monday. Yeah. And Bent was going to see the family up in Wisconsin. I was looking for a clever way to say the family, but it didn't pop out.
Nothing. the
ancestors. No, that doesn't really work. Going to visit the homeland. How about that? That's at
the homeland. My mom. I almost said mom again. My wife's homeland. I'm always saying mom.
This is not the Freud podcast, Ben. Let's have to do a different podcast for this.
It's always the Freud podcast.
Yeah. The rule of E.
Yeah, so he's traveling up to Oedipus, Wisconsin.
Yeah, blindly driving along.
So anyway, on the way he stopped and visited the Slagle homestead. And I've been enjoying the company of him and his son, Ian, who's went right to my pool table.
Yeah, pool table and darts.
There you go.
Yeah, he's ready.
Just keep him away from the scotch.
That's a good. He's already done three Mountain Dews, which is bad enough.
Oh, the Mountain Dew is kind of scotch for kids.
It is, absolutely.
And it's totally marketed that way.
It is.
If you've noticed it, I mean, it totally is. It's supposed to. It's the drink that your parents don't want you to drink.
Yeah, but he's had three of them.
Is he running laps around the house right now, or is he?
No, he's doing pretty good. But last night at midnight, which is true, I gave him one at 11. Was it 11:30?
Yeah, pretty close.
Oh, I was dumb. Okay, dumb.
So anyway, I guess we were supposed to talk about comedy, weren't we?
For Ben, So we both know. I know Ben through Acme. Did you guys know each other pre-Acme?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Gosh. Yeah. Good question. We met on the road.
Yeah.
Actually, before Acme, before Bent even worked Acme. We were in...
It's Iowa. From
Iowa. Iowa City, yeah.
Yeah.
I believe it was One-Eyed Jake's.
It was.
Was the first place where Bent and I worked together.
They also had a dartboard. That's how they got their name.
And after Slagle's set, his face was on that board. All those girls were lining up and throwing darts.
I didn't make many friends among the co-eds that evening.
No, they weren't happy about the
choice of material.
Your body. Your
did you really raise eyebrow
material?
At One-Eyed Jake's?
But what I remember most about Bent, and I tell this story so much that Bent's probably sick of it. At the time, Bent was we had a night off. It was like a Wednesday night, and then we had a night off, and then there was a Friday, Saturday, and that's how the gig just has gone for years. You have Thursday off. So I asked him. I said, you know, what are you going to do? You're going to stay here, or you're going to move up to Clear Lake? I think is where the weekend was. Is because sometimes at Clear Lake they give you the room for free. They give you a discount rate. It's nice. It's got a pool.
It's a discount rate. Yeah.
Versus the hotel where they put you at for Iowa City, which it was functional, but nothing.
And not cheap.
It was functional. It depended what season, because it was close to the football stadium too.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So anyway. So I said, where are you going? You going to stay here? You going on to the next town? And Bent said, well, I have a tent.
Yeah. I was living in my tent.
And it's amazing that the difference between comedy and homelessness is drink tickets, basically.
Yeah, that's true. It's a very shady line. I remember saying to my brother, they don't even have a car. That to me, it was if you had a car, you weren't homeless.
Well, yeah, right.
Which means the moment I break down, I am homeless. Well, no, you still have a home. You kind of have a place to.
You just don't have a mobile home anymore.
Yeah, you don't have a mobile home. That's right.
So anyway, I remember thinking to myself that night. As I went back to the hotel and just over and over in my head, he's tent. He's staying in a tent. On the night off, he's staying in a tent. And I was thinking that when I got into the business, the guys that were the generation before me, when to them a comedy gig was opening for Sinatra, that was like a comedy gig.
Sure.
And you know, and that gig, even then, you know, in those days, you know, in the 60s, that would pay like, you know, that'd pay like $1,000, which was huge money.
Oh.
And when we came onto the scene, we started doing those gigs for just like $500.
Mm-hmm.
And like the old guys, the old school guys were like, man, you guys are giving it away. You're going to ruin the business. and me, I came up in the era where you always get a hotel. You know, there's always a hotel. And all I could think was, if it got out that there are comics willing to live in tents, is that my the price point is going to drop kind of drastically.
There's going to be a lot more coonskin cap humor.
Yeah. Must coonskin cap humor.
And not only that, the dedication of someone willing to live in a tent frightened me to death.
or desperation. I mean, usually it's just no options.
It was kind of like that Chinese army I think we were talking about last week. I don't know if we did it on the air or not. Where the front line were criminals and they were taught to slit their own throats in front of the enemy to freak out the enemy.
Did it work? I think that would work.
It would work, yeah.
You tell us.
Yeah, and that's what I thought. When you're in a tent, it's like, holy cow, he's after my job. And
he's willing to sleep in a tent.
And Ben, if I'm not mistaken, when you first started, were you a guitar comic?
Yeah, I had a guitar. A guitar and a tent.
A guitar in a tent. That's the name of your first album.
That is desperation.
I always thought that was interesting because when you think of a guitar comic, you usually think of a guy with a lot of performative chops who can figure out some rhymes, but is not a particularly good comedian. And your act is so cerebral that that's why it blew my mind, because it's like, well, this is like as far away from a guitar act as it gets.
Tim saw me do the guitar, remember? And then you told me about Acme. I didn't really know it existed. And then you told me to leave my guitar in the tent. Just leave your guitar in the tent. Don't take your guitar to Acme, Ben.
Did you quit doing the guitar because you lost interest in it, or you because of the perception? Or
it was a horrible. I found it interrupted my thought lines on stage. Mm. You know, I'd start getting thoughts going on, and the guitar was such an interruption, and I wasn't good at it. And I used to do this parody on Brown Eyed Girl. It was called One Eyed Girl. And it was always a killer. It was a good closer for these horrible rooms. And I was outside of Seattle closing with that beautiful One Eyed Girl. You know, do you remember when she used to wink, 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 or blink? It was that kind of stuff. One Eyed Girl humor. And it wasn't killing. And I looked to the left. And I'm not kidding. There was one table with a couple. And the woman had an eye patch on.
Yes.
And I didn't do the guitar again. I was like, wow. And if you couldn't recover, they were lit. You know, like meat at the buffet. They were lit. And there was no way that everybody was looking back at them and up at me like, how could you do that?
Was she smiling at all?
Oh, no. No, she was not. It was not. It was very awkward.
There was a story like that. There's a Detroit legend. There was a comic, and it was a Detroit stock line. If somebody was misbehaving, it's like, isn't it nice when Jerry's kids can come in for a show? Well, I'm telling you, it was a different era, okay? And one comic used to use that one all the time. And in fact, it was almost part of his act rather than just a heckler line.
Oh, wow.
And he does the line. He goes, isn't it nice when Jerry's kids can come out for a show? And the whole room just goes quiet.
Because
he goes, what's the matter, Sparky? Did someone tick you off? And a voice from the dark goes, you did!
No!
That's...
thank you very much. Good night.
Oh, so that's what they call an inadvertent closer. Speaking of closers, by the way.
Next second.
Yeah, next second. See you back. Here on the second segment of Rule of Three, a highly technological podcast, by the way, with Tim Slagle and Ben Washburn. You guys, are you sharing the earbud?
Yeah. We are sharing an earbud.
Yeah. They're in the same location. So we're using Skype. We're using earbuds stretched across two men. We've got all kinds of different improvised MacGyver. It's high tech. It's Mission Impossible.
I swear to God I had a manhood protective adapter somewhere.
Did they build a little like wall they can put between, like a little collapsible wall so you don't feel like
No, but somewhere on my workbench I have one of those things that turn one earphone jack into two. So this would not happen, but I could not find it in time for you to be wherever you have to be.
Your voice is entering two men's skulls at the same time.
Double penetration. That'll be the name of this podcast.
Happening here on Rule of Threes. It's your first threesome on Rules of Threes.
Yeah.
It's a teenage couple on a train was how we described this earlier.
Yes. Like you're like teenagers on a train. But we, even for our low-tech solutions, are doing a little better with our technology game than the Democrats right now. The DNC email leaks, Wikipedia got hold of some several thousands of emails about stuff going through the DNC, about them pretty actively working to keep Bernie down, and in many cases working really directly with the media, like old shill Chuck Todd.
So the Russians hacked right into that server. I'm guessing Hillary contracted the IT guy.
I mean, that's the other wrinkle is that now it's possible. At least they're saying it might be Russian hackers, and that
How did the Russians hack? Did they call her and just ask her for the password? Is that how it works?
Friend of mine who used to run the comedy club in Toledo, Al Cedar, actually said that I would bet Hillary is so old, I'll bet her password is Chelsea 1980.
That's funny.
But if it's not 1234 or password.
It's certainly interesting if it could be Russian hackers and separate, it could, but the rumor or the implication among some is that it's Putin's trying to influence the election and get Donald Trump elected, his pal.
Or it could be that he was a Bernie supporter. I mean, you know those communists stick together.
You can see Bernie and Putin hanging out.
Yeah. I think that's a win-win, I think, for Putin. Trump or Bernie is either way is, I think, kind of a win-win.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, that Hillary would be the one person Putin would be the least interested in.
I think so. I would think so.
Well, that is true now that you're thinking about it. They did not have – I mean, ever since she showed up with that Office Depot smart button or whatever it was thing. Do you remember that? It was supposed to be. Yeah, it was a commercial here in the U.S.
Somebody bought me one of those.
I remember those. Yeah.
Somebody and it said something. Ah,
was
man.
It an easy button?
Easy button.
That was easy. Was easy.
Yeah, and she bought an easy button from Office Depot or Office Max or Staples or whoever did the easy button, and re-lettered it so it said reset button. And she handed that to Putin at their first meeting, and he was like, you know, he had the look on his face like his cat just brought him a dead chipmunk.
This really happened?
Yes. It was really happening. It was the first meeting. We're not the George Bush administration, so we want to reset our relations with it. And here's the reset button.
Oh, man. That's
Well,
like
first
Sunday
off, never
school.
Give a Russian a red button. That's too tempting, first off. But... But this is why they need a comedian on staff for all. The White House should always have a comedian on staff, because any comedian would have told them never do comedy in a foreign country that's related to a commercial or piece of culture from your country. They won't get it. Yeah,
well, they won't even allow White Christmas to be shown in
Russia. Really?
Yeah, because of the red buttons.
Oh, all those buttons.
I don't even think it was in White Christmas.
I was going to say you should have gone with The Longest Day. I just watched that the other day.
Or the longest way to go for a bad pun.
Yeah.
So anyway, Putin's probably still irked. Putin probably, you're absolutely right. Putin probably loved the idea of taking out Hillary at the last minute.
And now, Ben, you were saying that another mutual pal of ours, Danny Bevins, had an interesting take. This was great.
Yeah, it's awesome. Well, the fact that anyone would be surprised that the Democratic Party would work together to try to keep someone out that never identified as Democrat in the first place. I mean, of course, you're surprised? I mean, never said he was a Democrat. He always avoided the label. Why would you even think, well, I can't believe? Well, of course that's what they did.
Which is also funny that, it's kind of what the Republicans did with Trump.
Yeah.
They
failed, but the Republicans did the same thing with Trump. In fact, he seems to come up every episode. Our pal Andrew Lee made a really interesting point when he said that the Cruz backed himself into a corner at the convention because he signed a pledge to support the candidate. But that all the candidates originally signed the pledge to keep Trump from running as a third party when he lost. And then when he didn't lose, it backfired against him. It was like the one guy they had no intention of supporting, and they signed on to support him.
Yeah.
That was an interesting twist of circumstance or unintended consequence.
It's just no one can believe it's happening, I guess, still. People have a hard time.
I'm still wake up sometimes and go, wait, nope, still here. Yep, that's still happening. I'm waiting for reality to shift away from what it is. Yeah.
Bent actually had an interesting take on it. Is that there has been animosity between outside the Beltway and inside the Beltway for quite some time. You got farmers in California that are losing their crops because the EPA is directing the water out to the ocean rather than to the farms. You've got people getting tired of being audited and things like that. You've got federal. What he mentioned was actually that he lives kind of by the Beltway.
Oh right, yeah,
and
right.
And then the 2008 recession. Mm-hmm. What was that? You gave a stat?
Yeah, 2008 recession. You had the Loudoun County, which is just above our county, passed up Silicon Valley. It became the richest county in America.
Wow.
They don't feel the actions of what they do, but the rest of the country does.
That's a really good point.
Trump is just evidence of, they're angry. People are really angry and upset. You know they're angry when you have white male suicide increasing by 40%. I mean, when the white males don't have any hope in the country, when they can't see a reason to live, then something's really bad. That's not the canary in the coal mine. That is the coal miner.
The coal miner.
Not even the canary. Pass the canary right to the coal miner.
In my country, coal miner in canary.
Hey, you didn't leak that email, did you, Tim? Oh, wait a minute. We found our hacker. You made this podcast technology work. What's your other abilities?
Yeah, we can hack into Clinton's email.
It's kind of interesting too, though, because when Bernie was originally running, everyone was saying he's a socialist. And it's like, oh no, he's running as a Democrat. He's not a socialist. And now that it's come out that the Democrats didn't want him. Well, of course they didn't want him. He's a socialist.
Yeah.
And it was always the excuse they would say, well, he's a democratic socialist, as if somehow you put democratic in front of it, it makes it better.
Better than national.
It's not a genocide. It's a democratic genocide.
See, what he needed to put – the more accurate – he should put like granola in front of it because that's a more representation of Bernie's socialism, right? He's a granola socialist.
Crunchy socialism.
Yeah.
Lots of fiber.
Not with extra nuts.
No deodorant. With chemicals.
Expensive. But it comes in an expensive bin. You have to put in your own bag and write the number on the twist tie yourself.
It's very expensive. You get a headache. There's no Tylenol or aspirin in the store.
So do you guys think, to wrap it up here, do you guys think this DNC email leaks is going to have a significant impact, or do you think it's going to be a fleeting story from the summer?
It's going to make the convention interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it spawns a third party, it Trump could win.
And had we had an active comedy branch of politics, it would be marvelous. It would be marvelous humor coming off this. But unfortunately, it's over. It's under the rug. Just forget it, everybody. Woo.
I don't know. I think that, you know, they talk about the trust gap, which is a really nice way of saying we think she's a liar. I think, you know, everything that cumulatively adds to Hillary's quote-unquote trust gap could really hurt.
The trust gap.
I know. Have you seen that phrase, the trust gap? She needs to close the trust gap. Like, oh, man. I need to close my debt gap so the bank doesn't...
trust gap.
Speaking of gaps, we got a time gap, so we'll see you back here. Third segment. Final segment of Rule of Three. Who are you going to call? Well, Ben Washburn and Tim Slagle first. That's how it started this. But then, if that still doesn't work, who are you going to call? The Ghostbusters, I suppose. And depending on your purview, some people aren't content with who's on the other end of the line with the Ghostbusters, which has been weird. Isn't it weird that Ghostbusters became such a bizarre lightning rod for the sort of...
Yes, to me it is, but it's like Trump is weird.
Yeah,
it could have been. You know, I don't know if it was done for publicity or not. It kind of became almost a lot of anger channeled out of it. But it sounded like it was done on purpose. It's A, we're going to remake Ghostbusters, mm-hmm. and B, we're going to do it with all women,
mm-hmm.
and. And for some reason, those two points being leaked out in advance of the film just set everyone off.
There's no way they anticipated the level of vitriol. I mean, I'm used to people online. I used to work in a comic book store. So I'm used to people having inordinately strong opinions about insignificant things. Yeah.
That's the only thing you can have, an inordinately strong opinion about.
Exactly, right. And so I'm used to that. And the level of vitriol over this Ghostbusters thing, I mean, it's really hard to overstate unless you go look some of it up. I mean, it is unbelievable, unhinged, and intensely misogynistic. And, man, the racist stuff that people were tweeting Leslie Jones, I mean, it was
– wow.
It was shocking. It really was. I mean, it was – you could never read any of that stuff on the news, put it that
way. Wow, I didn't know that there would – it's the same, you know, remember the Starbucks Red Cup?
Remember right. That? Yes.
That intense, weird, what on earth? There's such a hyper-reactive sensitivity. They feel so victimized. I guess that's a response to feminism. They're just so angry.
Yeah, this definitely became a lightning rod for stuff that it was, you could say,
it's anti-feminism.
Yeah, exactly. That it was tangentially attached to because, I saw the movie. And it's not a great movie. It's not a bad movie. But what was interesting to me was it was just – there was nothing about having the women in it that would have made it any better or worse. They were funny. Yeah. It was a talented cast in a movie that wasn't that great. But they were good. And, you could have made that exact same movie with Channing Tatum and Kevin Hart and Jonah Hill – and Michael Cera, that's probably the inevitable guys it would have been. And it wouldn't have been a better movie.
Would have been the same movie. Basically.
And it's not this notion of a lot of people are saying, oh, they're ruining our childhoods. And I think people did. Whoa. They combined two things they're mad about. They sort of selectively, because of their anti-feminist sort of separate anger, attached the, I'm sick of these crappy movies getting remade, and, you know, and that is, I'm with them on that to a degree, but like, why now? Are you just now deciding to be the most angry about it?
Yeah, it's everybody's angry about everything and anything.
Got Milo Yiannopoulos banned from Twitter.
Who?
Milo Yiannopoulos is a kind of, he's, I like to call him shiny new Ann Coulter. He's a Republican. I don't know that he's even officially Republican affiliated, but he's definitely a kind of a conservative activist. But he's the young shock jock type who does a lot of provoking.
Yeah.
And he wrote, I mean, there's nothing in his review. Well, I don't know. His review of Ghostbusters, to me, teeters on the brink of straight racism itself. He talks about Leslie Jones's character being a minstrel character and stuff like that, where it's like, first off, oh yeah, A, you're offended on behalf of black people. But B, yeah. She was just an actress in a movie. I mean, she wasn't even, I don't know what one would call if she was kind of, she's blacking it up or whatever. Whatever that means, she wasn't doing it. She was just,
well, you know what, what can she do? She gets, okay, here's today's shot. Here's your script. Just read this. Oh, hell no.
Yeah, right.
But it's okay. Can you do a little bit more ghetto on that? Oh, hell no.
But it is funny, they show that kind of they kind of highlighted those moments in the trailers. But in the overall movie, she's not like the high-strung one. There's another character that's like the intense one. She's kind of more like the grounded pragmatist, like her progenitor, Winston Zeddemore, played by Ernie Hudson. You know, she represents kind of the like blue-collar audience surrogate character. So she was actually quite a bit more grounded.
So she's the insertion of sanity.
Yeah, she's supposed to be like the normal one, and the other ones are all kind of weirdos.
I heard the best review, best short review I heard was not as good as the original, but better than the Ghostbusters 2.
Yeah, that's an absolutely fair assessment of that movie. It's Ghostbusters 2 was way stupider. Uh-huh. You know, and it was just a. It was so weird that this became such a lightning rod. And then so I write movie reviews. So then I'm writing the review, and it was very difficult to write because I certainly didn't want to feed the trolls. But then at the flip side, I'm not going to say a movie's good just out of some reverse agenda.
Some sort of loyalty to, because I assume the reason that it was a lightning rod is they said, oh, see, look, Hollywood again is trying to push their values onto us and equal rights. And so basically that movie might as well have been pro-choice.
In the defense of those critics, they were trying to push their values on us. Basically, they wanted Ghostbusters toys to be able to be sold to girls.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, I mean, I think.
I mean, I think that's the bottom line of why they did it was that
they wanted to get girls' allowance money because they have higher allowance money. So there's more money to be made there.
So,
I think they're right. They like the dolls more than boys. That makes sense. You want to merchandise a movie to girls, they'll buy more.
Yeah, if their value is the bottom line, yes, it was Hollywood pushing their values on
us. And on top of it, I think it's also Hollywood is just a pretty inherently uncreative place, and so. A really easily encapsulated idea like, but with goyles is considered like some sort of creative revolution where like, I don't know, why don't you have...
Think Ghostbusters.
Yeah, have two chick Ghostbusters and two dude Ghostbusters. That's fine too. You know, like I don't think that easy gender flip inherently makes it interesting, but it just doesn't inherently make it disinteresting to me either. To me, it's like, it's either going to be good or bad as a movie. But I do think sometimes the gender flip thing, it's just a cheap gimmick because it's like, well, you're not really adding a lot of value. You're just flipping it. Unless you actually change the thought.
Unless you're the company that manufactures the plastic toys.
Yeah, right. That's the value you add. Sweet. Yeah.
We just switch out the faces, add some lumps on the chest, ready to go.
Yeah. No, I always think of Hollywood that you're right. That is the agenda that dominates everything. I mean, that's...
Yeah, like it's bottom line.
Yeah, but it was a weird thing, and I don't know about you guys. I was a huge Ghostbusters fan. That was one of my favorite movies as a kid.
Oh, me too. I loved it.
And you know what? I was thinking about this. The reason all the sequels are kind of doomed to not be good. No one has been able to replicate that movie's incredibly bizarre tonal balance between like action, horror, and comedy.
Yeah, it did. It did them all.
It's a genre bender. Like no one has quite been able to match that weird formula. So I don't think.
And the special effects for the day were pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I still think they look. Some of them still look pretty excellent today. And then of course some of them, you know, are the monster dogs and stop motion animation lose a little of their fright factor. Yeah.
The one thing though that I was thinking about it. Is that probably is lost when you go from a male cast to a female cast is there's an entirely different take on the idea of crossing streams.
Yeah, see, in this movie, they don't cross the streams. They just naturally sync up after a little while, you know?
Streams are sinking.
But yeah, but every boy watching Ghostbusters, when they say we don't cross the streams, every boy kind of...
Oh, everybody knows what they're talking about.
They kind of giggle. They know the joke, but there is no...
I had not thought about that. You're right. Yeah, well, you know what? There was no stream crossing. Spoiler alert.
Oh,
there you go. There you go. So apparently the script writers were aware.
and that's why the people are angry.
In terms of just for pure semiotic awesomeness, I did notice that one of the changes they made to their, you know, they kind of alter the get-ups a little bit and the equipment. You know, it's similar, but they kind of modify it. But their proton pack, like the guns or whatever, are way bigger than the guys were. They're really big.
Just blatant and
oh yeah, yeah, like they're so much bigger you have to hold them differently with like above and then yeah, they're giant. If you get a chance, look at the contrast between Egon holding one of those and Melissa McCarthy holding one of those, and it's like, man, hers is massive. So
and on that note,
yeah, I was gonna say, yeah, we're not gonna top a Ghostbuster proton pack dong joke.
Yeah.
So Ben, where can we find you on Twitter and Facebook and websites and whatnot?
Oh, it's at getbent.com, getbent.com, and Facebook is just Bent Washburn, BENGT Washburn, like it sounds.
Any shows coming up, by the way, you want to promote? Any?
You know what? I took the summer off, and my next shows, I've got a show coming up at the DC Improv, just one night, a lounge show. But then Barefoot Comedy down in Savannah, Georgia. That's the only next show I have, August.
Okay, you're not on the Acme books at the moment?
And then I do a bunch of tours through Canada.
Oh, nice. Are you got an Acme date at the moment?
It's corporate shows for a month and a half. That's it. Nothing exciting happening in my life.
All right.
And of course, as always, the podcasts are available at timslegel.com or brianmillercomedy.com.
Yep.
Brian with a Y still.
I think Andy may have that fixed. I don't know. I got to talk to her about that.
And and on iTunes.
Yep. Oh, yeah, right. All available on iTunes. Very exciting. All right. Well, hey, Ben, thanks for joining us this week.
My pleasure.
Yeah, and enjoy River Falls. Hopefully I will run into you somewhere in the near area.
In Acme?
Yeah, hopefully I will.
Bye. Bye, guys.